Hey guys, welcome back to the Far Better Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Clark, and today we're talking about our final church that is specifically addressed in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, and it's the church at Laodicea. Now, this episode is called Wishes versus Expectations. Next week, we're doing Expectations versus Reality. Then the week after that, we will do text takeaways, and we'll close our final episode, May 29th, 2024, with the church today. Let's get started with the background of Laodicea, the city's background itself. Laodicea was founded around 250 BC by Antiochus II of Syria and was named after his wife, who, according to history, later poisoned him. The city sat on the main road between Ephesus to the west, Syria to the east. It was known as a great financial and manufacturing center. The city was notable for its interest in medicine, and keep this in mind, in particular for its use of an ointment that helped treat eye diseases. The city was also known for its high-quality black wool that was produced and sold throughout Asia and beyond. They also had a wealthy banking and financial center. And such was the great wealth of the city that when it was destroyed by an earthquake in AD 61, it declined to receive help from Rome in reconstruction. They didn't need any financial reconstruction help. The hot springs in the city of the Hierapolis to the north flowed southward but were lukewarm by the time they reached the city of Laodicea. Keep that in mind. Now, the religious background is a little bit more intricate than we normally have talked about. You know, the church may have likely been established by the spread of the gospel from Ephesus, Acts 19:10 and verse 26. It's also been suggested that Epaphras, a member of the church of Colossae, may have had a part in its establishment. The churches in Laodicea, Colossae, and the Hierapolis apparently enjoyed a warm relationship. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, the Bible says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas in the church that is in his house." A letter was written by Paul to the church in Laodicea, but it's been lost in antiquity. That's the very next verse in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. "Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." We mentioned last week in our two-for-one special, or the week before, I should say now, because I think it's the text takeaways. We mentioned in our text takeaways of Philadelphia that these letters would have been circulated throughout the churches that were around them. These things, says he, everybody's got to listen to this. Everybody take it to heart. This is an actual verse proving that that's what they did. Likewise, read the epistle from Laodicea. So let's get into the text, Revelation 3:14, wishes versus expectations. Number one, Jesus knows Laodicea well enough to make an honest assessment. "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot." Jesus knows them well enough to make an honest assessment. He says, "I know who you are, that you're not even cold, you're not even hot. You're wishy-washy. You're in between." And he tells us this result of this being lukewarm is that Jesus was going to spit them out. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, "So then, because you are lukewarm," remember that's what the waters were after the Hierapolis trickled its way down. They were not hot or cold, they were lukewarm. "And you're neither cold nor hot, Laodicea, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." Now, I know that word is not a pleasant one to think about, but we need to talk about it for just a moment. The word here, literally conveys the idea of throwing up, to be sick, or to make oneself sick. There's two stories that kind of come to mind. One that is personal to all of us, I'm sure, at some point, and the other that happened to my brother and sister when they were little. There was something that I can't remember the exact thing that had been ingested by one of my two siblings, but it was bad what they had ingested. And so my mom called poison control and they said, you need to give them this solution. It's going to make them throw up. It's not going to be pleasant, but you need to know who did what. And so my mom asks my two younger, you know, siblings at the time, they're older than I am, but I wasn't around yet, which one of you did it? And neither one of them would fess up. Neither one of them would admit who had done it. And so my mother decided, okay, well, you both need to drink this then, because I can't take the chance that one of you is going to get violently ill because you don't want to tell me the truth. And so she made my brother and sister drink the solution that was going to make them throw up. And the story goes that my mother sat them down and said, now kids, in just a few minutes, you're going to be throwing up. And we're going to see who you know, didn't tell the truth. And as luck would have it, my poor sister did not need to take this medicine because she had not drank what she should not have drank or drunk. My brother had. And the story also goes, Daniel, why? Daniel, why? And the betrayal that was felt by my older sister, who was in her toddler stages at that point, probably around 4 or 5 maybe, maybe slightly younger. But that idea of making someone sick because it's not profitable for you to keep what's inside. And there have been times where, you know, you try to get rid of something that isn't good for you, and there are medicines out there apparently that will make you throw up so that you don't get sicker. Now, here's an example that I think we all can relate to, and it's kind of a twofold. Maybe you have a very sensitive gag reflex, and the smell of certain things will make you throw up. Maybe you go and you grab a carton of milk, and you go to sniff it, and that smell just hits you just the right way, well, really the wrong way. And so you might throw up. Maybe you have done something before where you taste something and it's so nasty, you end up throwing up. The result of being lukewarm, the result of not being what Jesus wanted them to be, was that he was going to throw them out of his mouth, spit them out, vomit them out. Not cold. You know, the waters of Colossae provided refreshment for weary travelers. There's a benefit there for cold water. Not hot. The water of the Hierapolis benefit for medicinal value, but lukewarm. Water that makes you vomit. And if something's not the temperature that we expect it to be, we don't accept that, do we? If you go to the same freezer that is sitting beside or underneath or on top of your fridge, wherever it's at for you, and you pull out a carton of milk, not a carton of milk, you pull out some ice cream. If it is not solid, if it is, when you open it, a soupy, nasty, disgusting mess, do you stick the spoon in there anyway and say, oh, this will do, it's going to be just fine? No, we don't accept that. We throw it out. And we go to the store and we buy more ice cream because that's what you have to do. But you don't accept the fact that the medicine in the cabinet has expired, so you'll still take it anyway. We don't accept the fact that something that is supposed to be one temperature is not that temperature, so we take it another way. We have expectations that if they're not met, we could wish that they were different. I went when I was 18 years old to a Steelers game. First time ever being in Pittsburgh, and it was in December when we went. That was a brutal night. It was not fun as far as temperature was concerned. And I remember we got to the stadium, and we determined it was time for us to go eat. And we said, you know what? We'll go get some hot food, and we'll get something that will help us kind of stay warm. So we went, and I purchased hot chocolate with my chicken tender meal. Normally, that's never something that I would do, but I was desperate for some warmth. By the time I got back to my seat, The hot chocolate was not even hot anymore. It almost tasted cold, and it just didn't taste good, so I didn't finish it. Wishes versus expectations. I could wish that you were one side. I could wish that you would pick a side. Be cold, be hot. Then at least I'd know where you stand. But you're neither. So I'm going to have to spit you out. Spew you out of my mouth. What a terrible picture. What a horrifying thought. And what a great way to end this week's episode. Think about this. What would you do if this phrase, "because you're neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth," was said about your faith? What would we do? Next week, we'll pick up with expectations versus reality. But until then, let's remember to please God now so our eternity is far better.